Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Live streaming provided by Alpha Geek Radio and Alpha Geek Video. Visit tunein.alphageekradio.com to learn more.
I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but Monday has passed, as has Tuesday and Wednesday. Thursday is here. And it was gone. And then Friday is upon us, which means the weekend is here. And it is a three-day weekend. Hi, everyone. It is Stephen Schleicher once again with another Finally Friday. Taking us into the weekend, or as my son calls it, the weekend are stay-home days. Those are days that he gets to stay home. And this week, he gets to stay home for 3 days because we got Memorial Day weekend that is upon us. And we'll be bringing in a veteran here shortly. But before we get started into this grand project that we've been doing, I want to say thank you, everybody. It's been exactly 1 year. 1 year since I left my real-world job at Fort Hays State University to come and do Major Spoilers full-time. And I want to thank everybody who made that happen, including all of our Major Spoilers VIPs from around the world. Without their support, without their help, we couldn't have been doing everything that we've been doing these last almost 9 years now. And you can find out more by going over to members.majorspoilers.com. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we've been doing great ever since then. Also, thank you to Alpha Geek Radio for streaming this show live. And of course, the Fezzes come from Fez-O-Rama, because those are some cool hats that you want to kick back and relax on a Friday. A couple of things before we get into our guest today. I've been meaning to talk about these, and I want to show them off because I unwrapped one of them today. Check this out. This is a journal. This is a Superman journal from Insights Publishing. And basically what this is, it's your typical ruled journal that you find. But on the inside, they're pitching this and they're selling this as Superman's actual journal. And so they're about, I don't know, about 10 pages on the inside where you actually have Superman talking about a recent battle with Zod. And so you can read his thoughts on that. And oh, there you go. It'll show up there. It's got his look. That's Superman's own handwriting, everybody, right there in the journal. And so it's kind of neat, about a couple of pages of that. And then, of course, you just get into your blank ruled journal. As with most journals, you have a little pocket here in the back to store your notes and things. And of course, it's got the nice little strap on it. Now, what I like about this one is it feels like the cover is kind of rubberized and kind of follows along with the current Superman, New 52 Superman costume, which I think is really, really neat. So that's a really nice journal. Also arrived from Insights is the Wonder Woman journal. It's set up kind of the same way as the Superman one. And then one that they sent me, although they have many of these, if you're a fan of Walking Dead, you've got Walking Dead journals, too. And you can get them with Rick and a bunch of other people on the inside. It doesn't have any diary stuff in it. But if you're looking for journals to keep your notes and your thoughts in and you want to kind of keep with some pop culture-y goodness, then go check out those ones from Inside Editions, because I think they're really kind of neat. And I've been using them for a while, and I think that they are very, very cool. So why don't we get to our guest today, hailing all the way from California via Smallville, Kansas. He's a Kansas native, and you may know him from such things as, oh, I don't know, the director, producer behind the Red Shirt Diaries. He was writing up on our site for a long time, producing a lot of videos for Rhett and Link, and now over at I forgot the name of who he's working for now. I'm sure he will let us know. And of course, you know him from DC All Access. Please welcome to the show, Jason Inman. Jason, how are you?
Hey, man, how's it going? And it's Screen Junkies.
Screen Junkies, dang it! I know that. I was like, oh, I gotta remember it's Screen Junkies, Screen Junkies, Screen Junkies. And then as soon as the camera goes live, it goes out my mind. Hey, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me. And by the way, what is the name of those journals again? Because you sold me.
These are from Insights, is the company, is INSIGHTS. You can go and find them on insighteditions.com. And these are officially licensed DC product, Warner Brother products. So go check them out. I really like this Superman one, especially because this one has
Superman
this.
Yeah, Superman one looked really cool.
It's got this really grippy feel to it, which I like, which is a lot different than some of the other journals that I've used over the years. Right now, one of the ones I'm writing on, this is not an Insights edition one, but it's this Marvel one, and it's just kind of got a hardcover on it, and it's very slick. But man, I like the grippiness of this Superman one. So that one will soon make its way into my regular lineup of things that I'm writing notes in. My plots to take over the world, which is kind of the opposite of what you expect from a Superman journal. So tell us, Jason, what has been going on with you? You just got back from New York just this, a couple of days ago, right? Or was it last week?
Yeah, Wednesday.
Wow. So what were you doing in New York? Tell us all about this, because it's been so long since you've been on the show talking with us about your DC All Access gig.
Well, that's why I was there. in New York was the TV upfronts. And
yeah.
So all the television shows are up there, premiering the new episodes of next year. And I got to talk to the entire cast of Gotham.
Oh, cool. That was neat.
Which was a lot of fun. And
yeah.
I think that video is going up next week.
Excellent.
And it was really cool. Robin Taylor, I forget his name, the guy who plays Penguin, let me tell you.
What is his last name?
He is fantastic in real life. He is so nice, and he exudes so much energy that you're just like, okay, yeah, I know there's a reason why he's the best cast member on that show.
He's really seems like a really nice guy, even though he's playing someone who's really evil.
Mm-hmm. He's super nice. And the actress, Morena Baccarin, mm-hmm. I think you say her name.
Yeah.
Who plays Leslie Tompkins.
Mm-hmm.
She is just as stunning in real life.
Wow. She was, of course, in Firefly a long time ago. So that's what a lot of people know her from. But yeah, she's blowing it away in Gotham.
And then Ben McKenzie was cool, he slipped into the interview, and he was kind of like, okay, I'm doing the interview. And then immediately I was like, when are you going to grow Gordon's mustache? And
immediately
he lit up and was like, oh yes, we get to talk about the mustache.
Well, did you see Halloween last year? He tweeted out dressed as the as older Gordon with the mustache and the gray hair and everything.
Well, he told me that he keeps asking the producers, and he's like, well, can we get there gradually? Like, can we start with the beard? Can we do this? And they keep telling him no, that he's got to be clean shaven.
Oh, that's too bad. I guess that would offset. I mean, that keeps him offset from the character of Harvey Bullock, who's a little bit more, disheveled and questionable morals. And of course, anytime you see somebody with a mustache, you always question what's going on behind that beard, Jason Inman.
Yeah, I know. That's why I have one.
So that was fun. And then you guys were there did you also get to talk to the cast of The Flash?
I did not. Tiffany got that gig. I still have not met Stephen Amell, which is my goal, but he has said my name
cool
in a video, but he is not, I've not met him. So, no, Tiffany got to do all that. And she said that she told me, I was talking to her yesterday, that she had to talk to everybody, even the Legends of Tomorrow people, except for Rip Hunter, the Arthur Darvill.
Arthur Darvill. Yeah. So what do you think of this announcement of DC Legends? Again, it's been a while since you've been, since we've had a chance to talk with you and since we've done a Finally Friday. They wrapped a lot of that DC Legends of Tomorrow into the finale for The Flash this past week.
Yeah, but how awesome was that finale for The Flash?
It was an excellent finale, and I think it was perfect in the way that it ended. And I really like Barry's closure with his mom, I think was probably the best part. So, yeah.
You know, I'm really excited for it, man, because it just seems like this is the have your cake and eat it too series. Like, mm-hmm. we can do anything. We can go anywhere. Like, maybe in that series, like, we'll see Skitaris, you know, the warlord.
Place.
Like, they could go nuts with that series. And I'm actually really excited for it. I also kind of hope that it's kind of on its own. Like they're the secret team and that they don't cross over with Arrow and Flash that much. Like,
We do know that, like, Wentworth Miller and the guy who plays Heatwave are both scheduled to appear in all three shows next year.
There's also a rumor going around that Diggle is going to appear in all three shows as
well. Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. That would be really cool if that would happen. I like those shows. I really need to get caught up on Arrow, and I'm hoping Barry's jumping through the timelines and different realities next season will put a happy smile on his face.
Oh, man. And when they I hope they do this. I hope they set the camera down on an alleyway and you see, like, a dude in the front and a girder coming down on him. And we see the shot of Jay Garrick and Barry Allen coming for it at the same time.
Yes. Well, I mean, we saw Jay Garrick's helmet, you know, fly into the shot. I mean, that's pretty much a huge, hey, this is happening kind of thing in the finale. So I thought that was very, very cool. I just had me so excited. I can't wait to talk about it tonight with Matthew on the Flashback podcast.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. Like, I think that Flash is, like, really doing well is that they're just, like, embracing all the silliness and mm-hmm. craziness of comic books.
Mm-hmm. But they're not making it seem silly or ridiculous. It's not like I see audiences watching this and going, oh, I can't believe they're doing something so stupid. It's like people are actually watching this and going, what? A telepathic ape? Holy cow, this is awesome.
Yeah, you know, exactly. So, like, who would ever thought they could have made Grodd work, man? When we saw that Grodd cage in the pilot, I was like, that's probably the most we'll ever see of Grodd. And then we actually had a full episode with a giant monkey.
Yeah. That is awesome. Awesome. So how often are you working on DC All Access? What's your typical week with them?
It depends. Usually my typical week with them is once every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll shoot two episodes in that time because it's a blessing and a curse at the same time, because, like, it's awesome because I only have to do it, like, once every 2 weeks. But then the other thing about it is that I get spoiled about stuff really early.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of the stuff that's happening in all the June DC titles, and I'm kind of like, I wish I could have just read it.
Well, they've got 24 new number ones launching in June, and then they've got 25 of their regular books going on. Brian Hitch today was announced as the writer artist for Justice League of America.
I'm so in, like, flan on that book, man. That art looks awesome.
Yeah, it does. We saw some of that up on the Major Spoilers website today. So if you haven't seen that, go check it out. There's going to be 7 variant covers and a giant wraparound cover, and they'll all form together into one giant team. And it's your team of Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Flash, Cyborg. And is that everybody? Aquaman? I can't remember.
Yeah, Aquaman.
Yeah. So there you go. That's coming. And then so you're there only one day every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And then every once in a while, they'll pull in stuff like interviews here and there, because the comic book creators are harder to nail down. So,
right.
Like, I do know that sometime in the future, in the next 2 weeks, I'm supposed to be talking to Mr. Dan DiDio.
Oh, cool.
But they're trying to lock down his schedule.
Okay, cool. I think this past week, who are you interviewing? Dan Abnett? Is that who you were interviewing?
Yes. Uh-huh.
We had that up on the site. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Who did you do the Skype interview with?
That was him. I did the Skype interview in New York.
Oh, while you were in New York. Okay. Yeah. All right, cool.
In the old DC offices, actually.
Yes, I saw that. They still have some stuff sitting around in there, or have they totally torn everything out?
Well, Mad Magazine's still there.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay.
And then it was kind of weird because I saw it as a ghost town. That's the first time I'd ever been there, too.
And it's empty, walking down the hallways.
Yeah.
Still got to be a thrill, though, for you, longtime DC Comics fan.
It was still cool. I was glad I got to see 1700 Broadway. And the cool thing about that is that I didn't know it's right across the street from Letterman.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I got to see his theater one last time before I'm pretty certain they probably tore down the sign already.
They were throwing out the set pieces yesterday, and I guess people were grabbing pieces and already putting them up on eBay. Some of them are bigger pieces, but a lot of people are just like holding up a scrap of wood saying, you know, this was part of the Letterman set. It's up on eBay now for $15. And it's just like, okay, whatever. So when you're not doing DC All Access and getting all the inside scoop on everything happening at DC Comics, you're working for Screen Junkies. And what's your job over there at Screen Junkies?
I'm basically a producer, writer, editor. So my big job over there is that they started this new podcast called Movie Fights.
Oh, yes.
And so I'm the one responsible for writing the questions and like booking the guests and doing all the stuff like that. And then I get to fight on the show every once in a while. Like, it was so funny. I got there my first week for Screen Junkies last year, and they were like, hey, we got this new podcast, Movie Fights, and we want to do it. And I was like, cool. And they were like, yeah, and we're going to do episode one this Friday. So figure it out. And I was
get to it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But you guys are using the same regular set, or did you guys come up with an all new set? Or
we moved. We moved in January to a new building in Beverly Hills, and so we had to rebuild the Screen Junkie set, and we had to rebuild the Movie Fight set and stuff like that. I like it better where we are now.
Bigger space.
Just more space. But I've been told that we're going to be moving again.
Wow, so. That's got to be a good thing or a frustrating thing. I know what it's like.
More frustrating for me. Yeah. So other than that, I help out on the Honest Trailers here and there, like throwing in ideas on there, and then the Screen Junkie show.
Cool. Excellent. So that keeps you very, very busy, but you still have time to do like Red Shirt Diaries.
Red Shirts is my weekend stuff or my nights. It is really busy right now for me. It's insanely busy, especially since I'm also working on like trying to get a webcomic going.
Yeah.
And then my other YouTube stuff. And then... I don't know. Yeah. So Red Shirts is just in the spare time. I was working on a little bit before I talked to you.
Oh, cool. So, how far are we away from the first episode?
Well, I will say this, that right now, I'm not going to lock any date until we have 11 of the episodes in the can.
Okay.
We're still working on color correction right now, because what I like to do is like finalize color correction and then give because I have a couple of the co-editors, and I like to give them, just be like, here, copy and paste this color correction.
Yeah.
So once we finalize color correction, I'll get it to them. Right now, I'm throwing a shot in the dark as saying August 15th.
Okay, that's not too far away. People can wait until the fall. That makes for a nice fall series.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of follows the TV schedule, so that's cool. And so what's the most difficult thing? I think I asked Ashley this the last time she was on a couple of weeks ago. But what's been the most difficult thing about this second season of Red Shirt Diaries that you didn't anticipate from the first season?
Scheduling.
Just because you have so many other people. Last time it was just you and Ashley and occasional people, friends walking in, helping out. But this time you've got some major guests that are appearing in the season. And so, I mean, imagine that was a kind of a big headache.
And it was a big headache. And there are even a couple more that we haven't even announced anywhere.
Wow. Okay.
That literally 2 days before, like, I had a couple people, acquaintances I've made through Screen Junkies and stuff, ask me, they were like, can I be in this? And I'm like, yeah, we have a cameo for you. Come on by.
Cool. Excellent.
So I would say scheduling, man, it was just nuts. Like, cause we raised the guest star ball like way up, and we had a bigger crew and all stuff like that. And we had a couple of people cancel days before we were shooting with
them. That's too bad.
Scheduling is just nuts. And that's why I kept like tweeting. I was like, oh man, web series is hard.
Well, it's going to be a little bit easier than, you know, a full television series, because you've got a little bit more time and you're a little bit more flexible. And you're easier because you've got a shorter episodes than what you might have a 22 minute or a 42 minute network show.
Yeah. Well, that's the only reason like we were able to do like 19 episodes and basically, well, we did four shooting days, but like, they were all like 12 hour days.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yeah, it was just like 48 hours total. It's crazy.
Okay, so listeners, 785-727-1939, that is the Major Spoilers hotline. Give us a call. You can talk to Jason. You can share your thoughts about anything going on in the week. I'm just looking here in the chat room. Let's see. I really like that they got Shazam in the Justice League permanently.
Me too.
Yeah. The first story arc was fantastic. Have we already talked about season 5? Oh, of Critical Hit. Oh, that's a quick Critical Hit question. Yes, we did talk about Critical Hit a couple of last week, in fact, on the VIP live chat. So we actually told you exact date there on when you can expect the first episode of Critical Hit. We have recorded 4 episodes of the new season already, but it's going to be a while before you get to those. So there is the answer to that. Jason.
Yes.
Archie Comics. I want to talk to you about this a little bit.
Yes.
So it was a week ago, Archie Comics announced that they were going to do a Kickstarter so that they could get Jughead, Betty and Veronica, and Kevin Keller series out into fans' hands much sooner than they would in their regular release schedule or current funding setup that they had. So they launched this Kickstarter, and man, people just went nuts. Some people were really in favor of it, and a lot of people seemed to be really hateful of it for a variety of different reasons. And then on Friday, the company announced that they were going to shut down their Kickstarter campaign because they said that it moved away from the discussion of the comics and moved on to other areas that they weren't, that they thought took away from the spirit of that. What are some of your thoughts on that?
Well, I have a question for you. Did you donate to it?
Yes, I did. In fact, I donated, I think, at the $50 level is the one that I donated at, which was the one that got you, I think, one physical copy, but also a mention in the credit section. That's where I contributed at.
I did the $30 level. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Like, I actually didn't even know it was canceled until I listened to your Major Spoilers.
Oh, okay.
And the podcast. And you guys told me, and I was like, they didn't even send an update out about it.
They did send an email to all their Kickstarter backers, like, probably it came out about 20 minutes before the news broke on the internet happening.
They must have went right into my spam.
Yeah, I would look in there because they did say, hey, if you're a contributor, please contact our publicity department. We'd still like to send you a quick thank you note or something like that. So,
okay.
Yeah. Well, so I was just a little disappointed that it shut down.
My quick thoughts about it is, and I know Matthew was a little bit against it.
Yeah.
I understand the whole thing about this being a big company and not being against and being against a big company doing a Kickstarter.
Right.
But this, to me, this Kickstarter seemed to be the ultimate democratization of comic books.
Yes.
And by that, I mean, like, there was an old DC series that I loved that kept getting canceled and brought back and canceled
Manhunter.
And brought back. And Manhunter's one of them, but I was more thinking about Blue Beetle.
Oh, yes.
Jaime Reyes.
Yeah, 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 and exactly.
Imagine DC Comics being like, hey guys, we know you like Blue Beetle, but you know, the sales aren't enough to keep it going. If we hit X amount, this amount that will pay the writer and artist to do 6 issues, guess what? We'll publish it. And then if the sales are great, we'll keep going.
Yeah.
And that to me is the ultimate of, because in comics, a lot of times DC or Marvel will cancel the book before you even get 6 issues. You're just like, no.
Yeah, but the second month solicitation data will come out on where they placed, and then it's like third issue. This is the final issue of the series, and it's like what?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And I think this, like, I really wanted it to succeed, and I actually think it would have. I think it would have crossed the finish line like right before the day, or something.
I think it would have got there. Yeah,
but
I just wish it. I think this is the way it's going to go. Maybe it is just too early, and Archie Comics, who's been ahead of a lot of other ideas and concepts in their comics. Maybe they were just a little bit too ahead in this Kickstarter campaign, but I don't think they were too far off. I mean, there are studios that are going to Kickstarter right now to have their movies produced, and they could go and get bigger studio budgets to back them, but they're doing it through Kickstarter and people fund it. So,
I just wish they wouldn't have buckled. I think this could have been a really, really great thing that could have opened up the doors to a lot more comic books from the big two or big three, if you want to count Image, that we don't get to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Image at least has a different kind of distribution method where it's kind of all on the author's hands kind of to promote everything,
or the
creator's hands to do that. And depending on how, you know, as long as the creators still want to publish through them, they'll do it. They don't really cancel series unless the creators want to cancel series.
Exactly. There is actually a thing, as I used to work for a writer who worked, mm-hmm. who published his own book through Image. There is a certain number that Image has, and I won't say what it is, but of number of copies. And if your book falls below that number of copies that sell, mm-hmm. Image basically is like, well, now you have to pay us to print this.
Yeah.
Do you want to keep the series going?
Yeah.
And most writers cancel their book at that point.
Right. Right. Interesting.
Because otherwise, Image just picks up the publishing costs.
Yeah. Yep. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, listener. Sorry to have you on hold for so long. Who's this?
Hey, guys. It's Nato. How are you guys
Hey,
doing?
Nate. Good.
Hey. Hey, Jason.
What's up, bro?
Not much, man.
What's on your mind today this weekend?
What was that?
What's on your mind today, Nate?
My mind today has to be, I'm actually testing for my black belt tonight. So,
oh, hey, congratulations
tonight. Yeah. So
you're feeling better than last week, right?
Oh yeah. Much better. I try not to push myself too hard this time, but I wanted to thank Jason for, I tried some of the tea this week. It was very good.
Hey, thanks, man.
So, yeah, it was good stuff. In, of course, in my geek history mug.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. I wanted to let you know too. I really enjoyed the Kyle Rayner Green Lantern podcast.
The Geek History Lesson.
Yeah, it was really, really good. And it's funny because it's like how you guys were describing him and stuff. He is kind of like that weird odd man out that everyone can relate to for some weird reason. He's always been my favorite when I started reading any type of Green Lantern and stuff. So it was pretty cool.
He is definitely the Spider-Man. He's almost the Spider-Man of the DC universe.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And Ron Mars even says that in his creation, he literally copied Spider-Man because he really wanted to connect with readers.
So, but no, I just want to, you know, like to call in, say, hey, again, thanks. Congratulations, Stephen, for 1 year.
Hey, thank you.
Major Spoilers full time. Definitely enjoying it.
Well, I'm hoping that you're benefiting from it. So.
Yeah, I'm staying.
Well, this show is proof.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. But the only other thing is, have you guys seen that Wayward Pines show yet?
Oh, is that the I've seen the commercials
Matt
for
Dillon,
it.
Right?
To me, yeah. I think it's
I've
Matt
seen
Dillon.
Commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I actually watched the first episode, and it's really neat. I mean, I know everyone's watching a whole bunch of other stuff, but I know my DVR is pretty much empty now since everything stopped, but we watched it last week and very, very interesting. It's almost like X-Files meets mm-hmm. Prisoner.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say from the commercials, it looks like X-Files meets like Twin Peaks for some reason.
Yeah, there's a little bit of Twin Peaks stuff in there too, but it almost feels more like The Prisoner because the people are there, mm-hmm. but they can't leave.
Ah, okay.
And there was a couple of things that kind of came out where some guy walkie talkies to someone and gives like a number and weird stuff. So it's like kind of little nippets of, okay, yeah, you know, there's something funky going on, but
yeah.
They don't give you enough to actually figure what is going on. But
interesting.
First episode was really good.
So I wanted to give you an update because I've been sitting on this for a couple of weeks waiting for you to call in. And then every time you call in, I keep forgetting to mention it. Gravity Falls. So the last episode that we saw was not the end of that season. But the creators have said, we don't know when Disney's going to release the rest of the episodes. He was thinking that they were going to release it this summer. But I believe that there are either 8 or 10 more episodes that need to be released in this particular season.
Oh gosh.
And it's been since November, I think. Wasn't it November? Something like that since we saw the last episode. So,
it's been a while. Yeah.
I did do some research on it and the show hasn't been canceled. It's just Disney and their scheduling. So there you go.
Yeah. That's weird.
Hey, I have a challenge for both of you.
Okay.
I've never seen Gravity Falls.
Okay.
So sell me on it.
It is Disney meets the X-Files. How's that?
All right.
Yeah. but the if anything, the just the interaction between the brother and the sister, mm-hmm. it's like mm-hmm. a family thing. But the interaction between the sister and the brother and the go between and everything in that is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Just nice. I don't know if I can sell it. I'm horrible at selling things. But anyway, the first episode, Mabel, which is the sister, yeah. hands this guy a note and it says, "Do you like me?" And it says, "Yes. Absolutely, positively." And then they cut the totals back to her. She goes, "I rigged it."
It's a really good show, Jason. The animation is really good, and there is a much larger conspiracy theory story arc that runs through everything. And there are some creepy villain types. There are, you know, weird town folk. There's a lot of comedy in there. And like I said, it's what would happen if Disney got its hands on every conspiracy theory ever and threw it into this one little town up in Washington State called Gravity Falls. It's really, really good.
Nice.
Yeah. Anything else, Nate?
No, that's it, guys. Have a great 3-day weekend. Stay safe.
All right.
Be good. And we'll talk to you next week.
Good luck on your black belt tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck.
Oh, anytime, guys. Thanks, guys.
Judo chop somebody.
See you, Nate. It's always fun when Nate calls in week after week. Whoops. I think I hung up on Jason, too. Dang it. That wasn't supposed to happen. I pressed the wrong button. Sorry, Jason.
Yep.
I just hit the hang up button and forgot that it was everybody. So,
hey, anyway. Man, I forgot to tell you this. But again, I wanted to say congrats, too, because like you going 1 year on your own.
Yeah.
is a brave, bold step, dude, and something that like I wish I was in a position to do as well. And I think awesome
it's been
that
scary.
You did it and took the chance.
Well, like I said, I couldn't do it without VIPs. Couldn't do it without our sponsors on our various podcasts, and some other things that you know. I will say this: if you're going to quit your job, make sure you save money for about 2 years before you quit your job, because it's a real adjustment there. And you know, here after let's talk to Fabian real quick, and I'll talk about some other things going on. Major spoilers. Fabian, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Good, good, good.
So 1 year, I'm very happy to give you my money.
Thank you
for the VIP membership.
Thank you.
And I actually got a new Visa card the day before yesterday, so I need to go and adjust my PayPal.
Yes, settings. Do go do that. In fact, it's funny because I just posted something over on the VIP site reminding people, because as the charges start to occur for the month, I keep getting these things that says, "Oh, this payment was skipped for whatever reason," and it's just most of the time it's because people have changed their credit card, or the old one has expired and they haven't put in the new data yet. So, but thank you for being a VIP.
The May thing is this month is actually already paid. So I need to just get the new card and do it for June then.
Excellent. Excellent. So what's on your mind?
I just wanted to be the one after Nate. Normally it's the other way around. I'm going and then it's Nate.
Yep.
I'm astounded that most MSP VIPs or fans in general like Kyle as a Green Lantern. I do as well. I loved him. He was my first one. First Green Lantern. And I started when he got onto the JLA, which was my first comic book in general. Ooh, sorry. And he's great.
I actually think that's astounding, because I'm literally sitting in a room where I have a shelf that is all, and every time I see a Kyle Rayner action figure or Kyle Rayner anything, I'll buy it.
Oh, yeah.
Because he is my Green Lantern. So that's really cool that there's still that love for this character. And that JLA run, that's Grant Morrison and Howard mm-hmm. Porter, mm-hmm. it is, like, to me, the definite JLA run.
I need
what,
to go
what,
and...
What were the story arcs in that one? Was that the Babel story?
That was right after
Midsummer's.
Grant, but yes, that's Tower of Babel, and it's mm-hmm. The one where they fight the White Martians, Rock of Ages?
Rock of Ages, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Interesting. Do you have that one Kyle action figure from like 19? Was it like 95, 96 from, I forget what the
Total
what
Justice?
The, Total yes. Justice. That's it. Yes.
It's so funny, too, because his arms and legs are bent in ways yes. that are not possible for human beings.
And unfortunately, you can't bend their legs. That's the problem that nope. I had with that series is everybody's in these really weird action poses because they're supposed to be firing off what, like some virtual weapons or something.
Yeah, they all have like clip on armor.
Yeah. And the thing is, they look great when they're posed, but they have zero playability because while their arms move, they're still bent at that weird angle.
And they all have grimaces that could break their teeth.
Yes, yes, yes. I remember collecting that line. I still have them somewhere, but I just remember that as one of the first Kyle Rayner action figures that I remember seeing. And then, of course, they've had the, what's the 3¾ ones that are the G.I. Joe line or the same size as the G.I. Joes.
The Justice League Unlimited or the...
No, not the Justice League. The Infinite Crisis line, because that one, they have a Kyle Rayner in it. I don't think there was ever a Kyle Rayner Justice League Unlimited figure.
There was. I have that one. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I probably have it because I know I collected all the Justice League Unlimited, even the really, really obscure ones that I had to go hunting down towards the end of the run, where it was like, oh, man, you want Amanda Waller, you better go and hunt that one forever because it's going to be hard to find.
He was in one of those random Green Lantern three packs.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The three pack ones were kind of disappointing because it's like, ooh, I really want to get Dr. Fate, but do I really need another Batman and another Superman?
Yeah. Yeah. And they just made like Batman's costume yellow or something.
Yeah.
I want to get into collecting pop vinyls. Maybe I can find a Kyle a pop vinyl or something.
I think they do have one of those.
I don't think they do.
You don't think so yet? Okay.
If you want to paint it yourself, you can totally get one.
I sure can try. I got a subscription for the German books way back when the New 52 started because I fell off of comics because of payments, so they're expensive or can be. And I got the subscription to get a little statue for free and stuff. I liked most of the New 52 Green Lantern. They haven't really changed from before.
Right.
But... Jason, you are absolutely right. He needs a bigger arc. The White Lantern stuff is a little too monster of the week.
Well, that's what a lot of Green Lantern has been for me in the New 52, is it's just been like event after event after event. And Green Lantern really works when it's a personal story about a human in front of like this terrifying alien thing that we don't know about.
Yeah. Hell, with all the stuff about the source running out, he's become a kind of oppressor, or actually they steered a bit back from that, but he could have been a real bad guy there for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No,
I never actually liked Hell.
I have a question for you, Fabian, real quick.
Yeah.
Do you also read comics in English too? Can you read comics in English?
Yeah, I do. I get the German books because I give them to my dad and other friends who mm-hmm. don't read English. I have the Batgirl for the awesome story right now and Gotham Academy and stuff in English.
That's
and
cool.
Several other things, but
I've always been curious about like the translation, like how much the dialogue changes, you know.
Yeah, I don't have the direct comparison, but I can kind of smell bad translation if I see it.
Oh yeah.
I just yesterday read the great graphic novel The Sculptor by Scott McCloud.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so amazing, so effing amazing, but there are some bad translations in it.
Oh, that's too bad.
I can see them even in the German version without knowing the original, because there's a sentence that doesn't make sense. And I think there's a scene where somebody in the background, one of the speech bubbles is, I could bet it's Olive Garden. Somebody says, oh, I've been to the Olive Garden. But somebody actually translated it. So it's not the company, but it's a garden of olives in German. Yeah. And it's so dumb.
<bad.
laughs> So dumb. So I always thought maybe there should be kind of a meta editor to catch the cultural references, because it's so dumb if I see that stuff translated or corrupted. I don't know.
No, you're right. Rodrigo has the same problem whenever there's anything in Spanish. He always says, nope, that's not right. So it does. You're right. It does look like the only Green Lantern pop vinyls that we have right now are Hal Jordan, Sinestro, Sheldon from Big Bang Theory. And then, of course, they have the Rainbow Lanterns in that format.
So I need to talk to somebody inside DC.
You do. In fact, my latest pop vinyl, the one that I got just a couple of weeks ago, was the TV series Flash pop vinyl.
Yeah.
Which is really, out? Really cool. I found it at our GameStop because I knew it was coming out. And I was looking through the stack of pop vinyls that they had, and I just saw the Flash, and I was like, oh, surely this is not CW Flash. And sure enough, it was. And I snagged that thing and ran out the store paying for it.
Oh, that's cool.
Of course. Yeah. But I have not had a chance to go back to see if they have Reverse Flash or Captain Cold yet. So
I need to see what they have in stock in Salt Lake City somewhere.
You will
in July. So yeah. I take a lot of pop vinyls back to Germany, I think.
Bring an extra suitcase because, I mean, just our local Hastings has a section. One of the aisles, one of the toy aisles, has a section that's got to be 20 pop vinyl figures wide by 3 pop vinyl figures deep, and it's 6 shelves high.
Oh.
And they're stacked up. I mean, they have everything, and occasionally they'll run a sale where they're selling them for like 50% off or something. So any toy store that you go to at Salt Lake City, I'm sure you're going to find them, and I'm sure Toys R Us will have a bunch of them.
There's just no room for shelves anymore in my small apartment.
I know.
So that
was the question of the week this week, or the major spoilers poll of the week. What would you rather have, action figures or full-size prop replicas?
Yeah, at the time I said action figures, statues. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I hadn't listened to the episode yet, but you've really made the talk for replicas.
It would
be great, but I don't know. I don't want to have 10 different not wearable Green Lantern rings or Red Lantern, Yellow Lantern stuff lying around. It wouldn't be as cool as some gun or sword or stuff.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Jason? Would you rather have prop replicas or would you rather have statues under 3 feet?
I think I have to go. I've always been an action figure statue man. So I think I have to go that route. Although there is a case because you said you had a custom Dr. Fate helmet, right, on the podcast?
Oh, yes. Let me see if I can find it on eBay. I did it on I did an unboxing over at our YouTube channel, Major Spoilers Video, a couple of weeks ago. But there's this guy online that has made a Dr. Fate helmet. And he sells them, of course, as replicas. But yeah, it looked really, really cool. And surprisingly, it fit my head. And I was really impressed with that. And he also had made a Jay Garrick helmet. And so I jumped on that, too. Here it is right here. Mm-hmm. This guy on eBay is selling them he sells this one for $275.
That's cool.
Which is considerably cheaper than the one that DC currently has, the officially licensed one.
I will say this, though. One of the cool benefits of the DC gig is getting to walk around the DC building and going to the DC Collectibles Corner where they have the stuff that's coming out for the next 6 months already there. And I've seen that Fate helmet in person.
Yes.
And it's pretty sweet.
And it's, but see, the one that I bought on eBay is made out of, you know, like a resin. Yeah. And then it's got a gold spray really paint awesome. On it. It does look really good. But the one that DC has is like gold plated. I mean, it's like shiny metal.
Well, because it's the real helmet of Naboo.
Yes, it is. And it's got the price tag as well. So I'll have to go with the prop replica.
Don't put it on or you're going to be screwed.
I got a question, though. Do they ever just like, okay, Jason, it's the end of the month. There's the prize room over there. Go in there and just grab as many toys and prop replicas as you can and run out the door while we're not looking. Do you get that kind of perk or bonus?
I don't get that perk every month, but I got it the first week.
Oh, that's got to be nice.
And the first week, they took me into what they call the happy room. And the happy room is literally a room that has everything DC that you can ever think of.
Wow.
And they handed me the Green Lantern battery that you did an unboxing for.
Yes. Uh-huh.
They handed me that. And then they were just like, oh, yeah, in your video, you said you like Nightwing. Here's a Nightwing action figure. You said you liked this. Here's a Bombshell. I felt like I was robbing a toy store. And it's one of those perks where I'm like, when can I ask to go back to the happy room?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You go in someday and just like, man, I'm just feeling down today. I sure wish I had a happy place to go to. And
yeah.
And see who picks up on that.
So I just want to say again, thanks, Stephen, for all that you do.
Hey, no problem.
A friend of mine has started a tiny podcast of his own, and actually the German podcasting scene is not as tiny as I thought.
Oh, good.
And I see with him how much work it really is, and he's got three kids and a wife. He's a little bit overworked with it. So thanks for all you do, great shows. And thanks that we, the people, can be part of it.
Well, thank you. Thank you, man.
So thanks. And I leave you to the next caller or yourselves.
All right. Thanks, Fabian.
Later,
have a great weekend.
Later.
So, a real quick note in case people hadn't seen this announcement that I put out on Twitter. So Spotify made a big announcement this week where they announced that they were not only just doing music, but they are also doing podcasts and videos and audiobooks and something else. I forget. But for the last 2 months, the Critical Hit podcast has been a beta podcast on Spotify. So we are one of the first podcasts to get launched on Spotify when they rolled it out. Unfortunately, at right now, if you're running to your Spotify app going, oh, let me see if the Critical Hit is in there. They're only rolling out podcasts to less than 1% of their current user base right now. And it's only in the US, the UK, Germany, and Sweden, I believe. So, last night we were at the movie theater to watch Poltergeist. And I said, Zach, you have Spotify. How about you look and see if we're on there yet? And we're not on his Spotify yet. So we are part of the launch of all the official podcasts. And, But it's not out to 100% of their users yet. So if you're wondering why Steven is saying something, but it's not there, that's the reason why it's not there. So I was pretty excited to be part of that for the last couple of months.
That's still really cool, though. That's like open it up into a much bigger audience.
I hope so. I hope it does. And I haven't listened to Libsyn's official podcast yet because they did talk about it this week. Because I think that there's a way for every podcaster to put their stuff on the Spotify network if they're through Libsyn. But you might want to go and check that. And you're on Libsyn with Geek History Listen. So go into your I forget what it's called, but it's not outlets, but it's one of the settings in there where you can set up another host to send your show to, and Spotify is one of those that you can send it out to.
That's cool.
Yeah, so you might want to check that out. But I know that they didn't take everybody right now, but they were like, oh, Steven, Critical Hit's doing well. How about we use that as a showcase show? And I was like, sure, fine, go ahead. So I'm happy to have it over there. So some good things. Good things are coming in this year. Good things for you came on this year too, Jason.
Yeah, man.
Because it was 2015 your best year? Because I seem to remember, weren't you working still for, when did you leave Rhett and Link?
I left Rhett and Link.
Is that at the end of 2013?
It was June of last year.
May
31st, last year was my last day at Rhett and Link.
So it's almost been a full year for you at Screen Junkies then?
No, actually, I didn't start until Screen Junkies till September.
Wow. Okay.
So that's why I would say like 2015 has probably been the better year. I don't know. Like, yeah. I've had a good couple of years, man. Like, a year ago that right now I knew I was leaving Rent and Link. Like, I'd already given, I gave them my 30-day notice.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I don't know. It's been good. It's been really good. Like a successful Indiegogo thing and Geek History Lesson doing well. And, Steven Schleicher being like, hey, on May 22nd, 2015, come on Finally Friday.
Well, you were the one that said, hey, I'm free. And I'm like, okay, let's put you on this day.
I know that's the problem is I'm usually working Screen Junkies on Friday, so I'm never available.
Oh, okay. So is this your week off then?
Yeah, basically I took the week off because I was traveling.
Yeah. And then was Ashley traveling too? Did I see she was in Montreal this week?
Yep. She went up to Canada and saw her family.
Good for her. And then she's back today or she's not back yet?
She is back. Yes.
Good. Well, we enjoy having you on the show, Jason. And what's been the most interesting thing that's happened to you this year, do you think? Is it Screen Junkies? Is it the Patreon, or not Patreon, the Indiegogo funding, DC All Access, or fill in the blank?
Well, you know, I don't know, man. That's tough, because filming Red Shirts was a lot of fun. Getting to moderate a panel at WonderCon this year was cool.
Cool.
But the one that sticks out the most was my first day at DC in January, and they were giving me the tour, and they literally walked me right into Jim Lee's office without me knowing that it was Jim Lee's office.
And was he there at the time or not there at the time?
Yo, he was there. And so I flipped my head around. I don't know what office we're going into. And then there he is. And he's like, oh, hey, I've watched your videos and da 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 blah, blah, blah. And getting to meet him and giving that was like that moment, like really like, oh, wow, this is very real.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so speaking of your videos, Jim Lee is known for drawing Batman. You're also known for being Batman. Tell the story of what happened with, is it Burger King or Wendy's?
I've gone to both.
Oh, okay. Which one got you into trouble?
You mean at the actual place?
Yeah. Didn't they threaten to sue you or something?
No, none of them did.
Oh, okay. I thought somebody came at, one of the groups came after you and was like, we don't think this is very funny. You better not come here show your face here ever again.
That's with a different video. So what happened is... I made this video called What's Wolverine Say?
Oh, okay.
And it's that group called, the Swedish group that made What Does the Fox Say?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ylvis?
Yeah.
They threatened to sue me personally.
Wow.
Like, so they watched my video and they thought I had stolen their music. But I had done is I had somebody write... a piece of music that sounded like theirs, but not enough. Cause I knew that they wouldn't go after it.
Yeah.
And they literally emailed me and was like, you need to take this down. We're going to sue it. And thankfully I'm with like a YouTube management company, The Collective. And I literally just sent this to them and I was like, can you help me? And then immediately they shut it down because I emailed them the piece of music and was like, here it is. This isn't yours. And they were like, oh, okay. Funny video.
Yeah.
And left me alone.
Now that's good. That's good. I thought your Batman had gotten you into trouble before.
No, actually, it's so weird. Everybody loves the Batmans.
I do, too. I wish you would do some more of them.
Well, I would say that right now, legally, I can't. So.
So your contract then is for a full year. Is that what you are right now? Or is this just an ongoing thing until they decide to do something else?
It's just kind of ongoing right now.
That's good. I'm glad you'll be there for a long time.
That's my hope. It's my hope that I'm the one doing the next host contest, find the next person.
Yeah. Well, what's the one going on right now? What's the contest that you guys have going on right now where you have a bunch of challenges that some finalists are doing?
The one they're doing right now is because I've been told a lot inside DC that they loved the host contest and they loved the response to it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they liked that I came out of that. So
yeah,
they were looking for a correspondent to come do a couple episodes with us at San Diego.
Cool.
And so we did this thing where we did the same thing as the host video. We were like, make a video, tell us why you should be on the show. and they narrowed it down to 10. And then now they're just keep doing things like, you know, tell us about your favorite episode of Arrow. And mm-hmm. now tell us about this. Now tell us about this. And then they keep just weeding them down.
Very cool.
And then eventually that one person will get 2 tickets to San Diego, a free hotel room and passes and everything, and then get to be on the episode with us.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. That's really cool. I like that. I like that, you know, they're trying to incorporate their fans and, you know, have really good things come out of that. I mean, Tiffany's really great and she's really, really talented. And I know she's a fan of comic books. But to see that contest kind of launch where it's like, hey, we're going to bring in one of you fans to be a co-host of this show. Go. And then you wind up there. And then they're doing it again with this San Diego thing is just wonderful.
It's also I will tell you some of the behind the scenes stuff. And Tiffany is super nice, by the way. She's super awesome.
I'm sure she is.
She's really nice. Well, anybody's nice when I'm just like, hey, you want to do red shirts for like no pay? And she's like, yeah.
Yeah.
But one of the interesting things that I found is that like we'll be doing a script or doing some little piece. And I'm like, that's not right, guys. And they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, that hero didn't do that thing to that villain. And they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, crap, we got to rewrite it real quick.
That is
so
cool.
I'm sort of their nerd fishnet or I'm filter.
Yeah. So is it who produces this? I mean, I know this is DC producing it, but do they have their own in-house video team or are they hiring freelancers to come in and shoot or how does that work?
The company is Telepictures and it mm-hmm. It's a Warner Brothers company that also does Access Hollywood and Extra.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so they're like an internal division of Warner Brothers. And so there's a team there that also does DC All Access. But it's actually kind of funny because that DC All Access is not the only thing they do. Like they work on other shows like the team.
Oh, OK. OK.
So
but they're out like segment producer type people. Is that
exactly.
Team is?
Yeah. Okay. Like we have like a director and we have a mm-hmm. couple like producer and then we have like a writer who writes all our scripts and stuff like that.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Well, Jason, we are out of time this week.
Uh-oh.
It's the hour has gone by, and I need to make sure that we're off so that the next show can get in over there at Alpha Geek Radio. And again, listeners, if you're in the live feed, thank you so much for watching us on YouTube and sharing your thoughts in the chat room. But if you are on the road and you want to listen on your mobile device, then tune into Alpha Geek Radio because they stream this show live and they take our video feed and stream it live over on Alpha Geek Radio as well. So you can listen while you're on the road. It's a small mobile upload and you can hear everything that we're talking about and call in and interact with us. So I would encourage you, if you're stuck in traffic on a Friday afternoon trying to get home to enjoy your 3-day weekend, give Alpha Geek Radio a chance because they've got a lot of great stuff going on. Jason, where can people find more about you? Of course, we've got Geek History Lesson going on the Major Spoilers website every week. But where else can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Jawin. That's J-A-W-I-I-N. And you can find my YouTube at the same spelling, youtube.com/Jawin. And I'm going to be more responsible about posting videos on there, hopefully, if I have a little bit more time and red shirts. And then also, you know, on the DC Entertainment YouTube channel, DC All Access is every week, every weekday.
Yeah, and sometimes multiple times per week, depending on what segment they're doing.
Indeed.
Yep. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being a part of the Major Spoilers experience. And thank you for being a part of Finally Friday. Thank you to everybody who called in this week, Nate and Fabian. We want to see more of you call in next week. I know some of you are still at work and you like to listen to the show. We try to keep it clean. We don't curse. So it is something that you could listen to at your desk without your boss getting too upset.
Hopefully. Should we dirty that up right now?
I'm sure I'll get a call from Todd. F-bomb, S-bomb. Left and right. I'm sure that would get everybody in trouble. So, Jason, thank you so much. You are welcome back.
Man.
Anytime that you want to come back and chat about anything, you are welcome to come in. But I know that your schedule is always busy. Like you said, you're working at Screen Junkies usually on Friday producing stuff. But you're welcome back anytime, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me, dude. Always a pleasure. Right. And congrats on your 1 year. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you, listeners. And we will be back next week. Next week, we have Bill Duran. You know him as Chinbeard. We're going to be talking about cosplay and prop making. And you'll want to call in with all of your questions about that. So until next time when it's finally Friday, take care.
This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.